Hello, friends. It's time to drop the needle on another episode and another season of Super Sonic Chat. This is the music podcast full of debate, jousts, thought experiments, and we do it all in the name of entertainment. My name is Adrian Warhope.
And I'm Leon Leroux. Adrian, as the keeper of the questions and the crafter of the conundrums on our fine podcast, which has nothing to do with planes that fly faster than the speed of sound or blue hedgehogs, what super things will we chat about in the Sonic musical landscape today, good sir?
Leon, listeners, who doesn't enjoy a great parody song? A great parody song. In this episode, we're going to chat about our favorite parody songs, what we think are the best parody songs. And I've got a little challenge for us at the end because there is a very successful artist of recent years. And I think, and I want to find out if he's a parody artist or if he knows he's a parody artist or what. I'm absolutely fascinated.
Okay, interesting.
And I want us to kick that around a little bit. So just for clarity's sake, before we dive in, for those playing at home, if you like a parody song, like what's that again? These are those songs that imitate the style of a particular artist or a particular genre, deliberately exaggerating for comic effect. So often they change the lyrics, they change the style and make it hilarious. And you'll see what we mean when we start talking about the artists that do this really, really well.
Yes.
Leon, I think I know where we start with this chat, I'm going to throw it over to you, sir.
Well, look, we mentioned Weird Al Yankovic once before.
The king.
When we, where we talked about comedy songs, we mentioned him fairly briefly. But this is not about comedy overall. This is specifically about parody. And I don't think you can talk about parody songs without giving a good chunk of attention to Weird Al. And I'm just really glad to be able to dive a bit more deeply into Weird Al because I love his work. Like he's
the king. And he's the absolute king. As a kid, I loved Weird Al.
Yes.
I thought he was like the first alternative dangerous artist. And it's hilarious as a kid. Like as a kid, I thought he was really edgy. And it's hilarious looking back because he doesn't swear. He's very clean, very straight.
Yeah.
But absolutely hilarious. But he's often your first exposure to like the weird and the different and the alternative. But I loved him as a kid. I loved him as a teenager. And as a middle-aged man, I still think he's awesome.
Yeah, same here. But like, it's funny that you mentioned that everything's clean, but you also mentioned in the same breath that his work feels dangerous.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and it's kind of cool how he feels like he's pushing the edge, but in a really clean cut way. I was about six, and I saw Eat It, and then like maybe a year or two later, I saw Fat, and I was like, this guy has the biggest cojones of anyone I've ever seen in my life, because Michael Jackson was at the height of his career. And even as a tiny kid who, like, I wasn't really even interested in music that much, I knew how massive Michael Jackson was.
Yes.
And I understood the audacity that it takes to take the biggest, most beloved star and just lampoon everything about this guy, from the idiosyncrasies of Michael Jackson, like right through to the video clip itself. Every aspect was just totally made fun of.
And the video aspect is really important as well, because there's costumes and there is visual aspect to everything Weird Al does, but it also works just as a pure straight recording because the lyrics are hilarious. I remember, you'd watch video hits as a kid. You'd wake up and you'd watch, on the Saturday morning. I remember it was the era of George Michael Faith and I don't know, all those kind of artists. And I remember seeing the full version of Weird Al's video clip for Fat, which is a parody of Michael Jackson's song Bad. So it's the full 10, 12 minute clip. Like, you think you could get away with it these days? I think Al could, but it is
all
about
can.
Fat people.
It's not really about that though. To me, it's like, for Michael Jackson, he's taking somebody who's cool and he's smooth and he's like just got so much style.
Yes.
And then he just adds this big fat suit to it and then does all the dance moves in the same style as Michael Jackson.
The same outfits.
Well, in fact, I learned this week that he approached Michael Jackson to see if it would be okay if he used the same outfit. And Michael Jackson was a fan and went, yeah, go Go for it.
So good. I imagine in the early days it was hard for our, you know, people were like, you need my permission. I don't know the legalities of it all, but well, yeah, would have been hard. I've
got some stories about that coming up. But
oh, okay.
To me, when I fell in love with his style, because I always love comedy and practical jokes and people who thumb their nose at authority. And to me, when I discovered Weird Al, this was like everything wrapped into one amazing musical package. It was
Leon, best. I think fairly labeled you and pointed you out as an iconoclast, someone who likes to take down the icons and thumb their nose. And I think Weird Al is an iconoclast in his own funny, clean cut, but dangerous way. I think.
Yeah. Well, see, and with me, as a kid, as much as I love that sort of stuff, and now as well, I was always quite a well behaved young chap, and I still am. But what I do like is when somebody follows the rule, they work with inside the rules.
Oh yeah.
But they tread the border of those rules. They're not just out being idiots and mischievous just for the sake of it. They're pushing the boundaries to try and show a point.
Yeah.
And Weird Al is right in that category. And yes, to me, his music actually became more important than the original.
Well, funny you should say that. I wrote down just top of my mind what bubbled to the surface, didn't overthink it. What were my favorite Weird Al songs? And I wrote Eat It, obviously a Michael Jackson parody, Fat, another Michael Jackson parody. I had Like a Surgeon cutting for the very first time, doing Madonna's Like a Virgin. So good. The film clip and everything. And I had Amish Paradise, which was an Amish retelling of Gangster's Paradise. So you got that. And then I had White and Nerdy. And I was love that song. But here's the question, because I did not know this. Yeah. What is the original that White Nerdy is parodying? I didn't know.
I didn't know the artist's name, but I did know what it was. But this song is definitely my favorite because there's so many good jokes in it.
Yeah.
And it's from an album called Straight Outta Linwood. And it parodies. Sorry, you're just taking a sip of water. Just
nearly did a spit take.
and the song Ridin' Dirty, which is the original, is by a guy named Chameleonaire.
Hang on, let's just pause and give the guy credit for mashing chameleon and millionaire as a rapper. Chameleonaire. Well played, sir. Well played, Mr. Chameleonaire.
To me, like the juxtaposition of this of the image, like Michael Jackson, the juxtaposition of the image versus, because you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just copying the music, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
In that the clever choices always go against the artist's desired image, right? Yep. So this is lyrics from Chameleonaire's
Ridin' Dirty
song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can check my tags, pull me over, try to check my slab. I'm glove compartment, gotta get my cash. Cause the crooked cops try to come up fast. And being the baller that I am, I talk to them, giving a damn, but I'm not feeling my attitude. When they realize I ain't even riding dirty, bet you'll be leaving with an even madder mood. I'ma laugh at you and then I have to cruise. Yummy number two on some old DJ screw. You can't arrest me, plus you can't sue. This is the message to the law, tell them we hate you. We touch, so tell them that they should have known. Tip down, I'm sitting crooked on my chrome. Booking my phone, finding a chick I want a bone. Like they couldn't stop me, I'm about to pull up at your home. They see me rolling. They hating, patrolling, and trying to catch me riding dirty. 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 Versus. I haven't run at Pascal while I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I could sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Here's the part I sing on. See me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? The juxtaposition between the nerdy references versus the gangster references is exactly the point. Yeah,
and he even later in the song there's like a direct thing where Chameleonaire says pop pop, which is like a reference to a gun. Yeah. And then in Weird Al's one, the pop pop becomes bubble wrap that he's popping just for.
It's so good.
And the jokes come so thick and fast. Yeah. And because it's rap, you just like barraged by them. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and Riding Dirty is all about the cops. He's trying not to let the cops catch him riding dirty because he's so tough. He's a gangster, it's like cops versus street thugs and all of that. And it was a big hit, but it wasn't across my radar. And that's the power of Weird Al, is that I knew White and Nerdy first. And to me,
actually, same.
Well, and in preparation,
I'd heard Riding Dirty, like in shops or whatever.
They see,
but
me
then
rolling.
I didn't listen to it.
Yeah. And I think when I went back in prep for this and watched Riding Dirty, the film clip for the first time just yesterday.
Oh, I didn't do that.
It felt like I was watching that Riding Dirty was the parody. It was funny. It was hilarious because I knew the Weird Al version more famously. It was a weird experience. It was very strange. Yeah.
Well, I've got some info about that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of artists, like I mentioned with Michael Jackson, was a fan. Chamillionaire said about White and Nerdy, he said, he's actually rapping pretty good on it. This is a quote. It's crazy. I didn't know he could rap like that. It's a real honor when he does that. Weird Al's not going to do a parody of your song if you're not doing it big. And then he also said that White and Nerdy was the reason he won a Grammy, and said the parody was the reason I won the Grammy because it made the record so big it was undeniable.
Yep,
I bet. Overseas that people were telling me that they heard my version of Weird Al's song.
I love your version of Weird Al song. Man.
Yeah.
Huge.
How good is that?
And that is the impact of King Weird Al. Even the name of the album, Straight Outta Linwood. I don't know where Linwood is, but I imagine it's obviously a parody of Straight Outta Compton, which is the tough, where NWA are from, tough neighborhood of
Linwood must just be a really boring suburbanite town.
Yeah, I love it. So good. Oh, the King, Weird Al. And here is the power of Weird Al. We do not ever need to hear the song Happy, you know, from the Minions 2 soundtrack, because I'm happy. Ever need to hear that song was ubiquitous. Ugh. It was everywhere. It was massive. It was awesome for the first 5 million times we heard it, and then for the 65 billion times since, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, but when Weird Al does a new version called Tacky, because I'm tacky, it breathes complete new life into the song. You've got to go and watch that video. I hadn't seen the video
That
one. It's got Jack Black. It's got all these famous actors and actresses
in it. I heard about that. Yeah,
lots of fun cameos, all about how
I've heard the song. I haven't seen the video
tacky. Yeah, love it. The King, Weird Al. Holy moly.
Good.
What are your favorite Weird Al tracks? What do you like?
Well, I really like Riding Dirty, but you know, it's what's interesting about that song, Amish Paradise, which I also love, is Coolio had an issue with that song.
Right.
Because Coolio's original was Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah.
And because of that issue, that's what now makes Weird Al actually ask permission now.
Right.
But I really love his polka medleys as well.
Yes.
Like when he did like a polka medley of
on his accordion,
a bunch of grunge songs.
Oh, so good.
And that just revitalized for me, because, you know, I'd heard Weird Al as a kid, and then when I heard a polka medley of the grunge songs that I love so much, it just breathed new life into Weird Al, and I'm like, oh man, he's still doing it and it's still awesome. And he pretty much does a polka medley in every album.
His first instrument was the accordion, which just sums up Weird Al, right? And getting big in the late 70s, or getting big in the 80s, but starting in the 70s, and still putting out and touring and playing stuff today, you know, many, many years later, 40, nearly 50 years later, incredible. He obviously put out his biopic last year, which was...
A parody of biopics,
rags to riches,
yes,
and
exactly.
all of that.
Because it's all fiction.
All fiction. And his supposed romance with Madonna and all this stuff. It was
It's so good. And I got to say that probably my favorite bit in the movie is, so listeners, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the film and you don't want to know this about it, I've kept it short, so if you just fast forward the 30 seconds, it'll all be over, and you can just click that one fast forward.
Avoid the spoiler.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So if you don't want to get spoiled, skip now. So my favorite part of the movie is where he turns the idea of his work being parody all on its head.
Yeah.
In the film, he wrote Eat It, and Michael Jackson copies him. And it's like Eat It is the serious song and Beat It is just plagiarism.
Oh, I love
it. And so there's this whole section of the film where he's just incensed that someone could make a different version of his song, which is actually one of the main criticisms that gets thrown at him. It's so good.
He's the best. What a legend. I love it. I love it. So good. He is a Grammy winner. He won Grammys, obviously, for comedy, but he won a Grammy for his videos as well. So that's how good some of his video work.
Yeah, I think he's won a Grammy several times. Like his latest
five
album,
Grammys.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But his latest album called Mandatory Fun, apparently it debuted at number one in the charts.
Yeah.
And it was the first time a comedy album had gone to number one since 1963. And that was in 2014. That's crazy. And he won a Grammy for that album. And then apparently the videos associated with his songs on that album got 46 million views in their first 10 days of release.
It's great.
And his exposure on the social networks at the time were higher than Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Justin Timberlake.
He's a force. And that speaks to his power, right? And his smart as an industry guy to watch him go from tapes and cassettes and CDs and videos, as in like on Rage or MTV and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Video.
He's transitioned right through the different formats of music along. So now he's big on YouTube and making short form content, and he still sees video and as part of his thing. And he's, you know, become relevant and stayed relevant all the way through. Super impressed.
Totally. And what's amazing as well is his musical sensitivity, because, you know, if you just say, oh, he's just copying songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he copies the sounds perfectly.
Yeah.
It's not like he's just getting a backing track and just writing words over the top. As a musician, he's mimicking the sounds, and that's really hard to do, to hear something and go, oh, that would have been made this way.
Yeah.
And then to do that and to make it so perfect. And not only that, he can parody like a style of a song.
Yeah. So, and he goes for all different types as well.
Yeah. So he'll write an original song, but then like in that album, Mandatory Fun, he parodied the style of the Foo Fighters.
Right.
The Pixies, Crosby, Still and Nash, and Cat Stevens with four original songs. And so he's writing original songs, but making them sound like the essence of a band. That is hard.
It's hard.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. He's very, very clever.
And he's switching between genres too, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's going from rap to folk to rock and everything. And he's just an amazing musician. And and also doesn't take himself too seriously, which is also awesome.
Of course. Yeah, that is the best. Oh, I'm glad we got to chat about Weird Al.
Oh,
any other Weird Al
him.
Stories or tidbits
yeah,
that you want to mention?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Like, apparently, because people, you know, artists themselves love having their work parodied, usually. And Nirvana said they knew they made it when they heard his song Smells Like Nirvana. and there's...
I bet.
Yeah, and there's only been a handful of people who refuse to have their work, like Prince, Eminem...
Right.
James Blunt and Beck are some of the people who are like, nah, you're not allowed. You can't,
really?
You can't parody my work. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, apparently Prince, because he kept asking him a few times, he had like three or four songs that he wanted a parody of Prince's.
Yep.
And he kept going back every few years. He said something like to see if he'd grown a sense of humor or something like that. And then Prince at one point had to sit opposite him like at a function,
yes,
and like sent a telegram to Weird Al so that he's asked him not to make eye contact with him. So he was like, he didn't get it, poor Prince.
That's very Prince.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
if
true.
There's an exception to the rule, I'll allow Prince to act like that, because, you know,
yeah,
he is Prince. But yeah, James Blunt, come on, man. Anyway,
yeah,
Beck,
yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, well, James Blunt's was like, he wanted to do You're Pitiful instead of You're Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when people refuse Weird Al, he'll just do it at a concert instead of recording it.
Your homemade Star Trek uniform really ain't impressing me. You're suffering from delusions of adequacy. You're pitiful. You're pitiful. You're pitiful. It's true. true. Never had a date that you couldn't inflate, and you smell repulsive too. What a bummer being you.
Fascinating. Weird Al, the absolute king of parody. I don't think anyone will ever come close to the volume and the quality of his ability to parody.
He's been doing it for decades.
The king. I wonder if there'll be any new, or maybe we'll talk about that in towards the end of the episode.
Okay,
we'll talk a little bit about where parody may be going. But before we get there, I just wanted to bring up the other great parody act who aren't as broad as Weird Al, but who are very specific, but who are very funny. And I think that is Spinal Tap. You can't talk about parody without talking about the band Spinal Tap.
So that's a parody band. The band themselves are parody rather than parodying specific songs.
Yeah. So they take, they take the whole metal, heavy metal, hard rock genre, and they just play up all the tropes and make it a real parody of the style, both look and sound of all of that stuff. But
that's a good call. Yeah. Well, I did some soul searching actually and found the root of my love for parody songs.
Oh, yeah.
It's Sesame Street.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, my first recollection of hearing a parody song like that was a song called Cereal Girl, which is a parody of Material Girl.
Okay.
I again was like pretty aware of Madonna's song, like I was with Michael Jackson and Weird Al, and I felt that impact of redoing a song like that was just cool and funny. And here is another interesting thing: I thought that, you know, that song by Kermit the Frog, "It's Not Easy Being Green."
Yes,
right. I thought that was a parody of a song called like "It's Not Easy Being Me" or something. But it's not. It's an original song.
Original, yeah,
yeah. But then here's this, right? That song, "It's Not Easy Being Green," has been covered by too many people to list here, including Frank Sinatra, Van Morrison, Ray Charles, Tony Bennett, and heaps of others. It's covering, almost doing a parody of "It's Not Easy Being Green."
That's incredible. And I guess you thought maybe it was a parody because Sesame Street, you were familiar maybe
that's
with
their
ability to parody songs.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, here's a short little list of some of the great titles. Barn in the USA.
Oh, I love it.
Born to Add instead of Born to Born.
so
Springsteen it up, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chariots of Fur.
Oh.
Hip to Be a Square. I get a kick out of you, like the letter U.
I love
hundreds of these. There's too many to mention, but they're so well made.
And kids wouldn't get it probably, but
not immediately.
But little kids, but parents
do.
It's that little something in it for the parents.
Well,
it's
also then when the parents are laughing at it, the kids are going, "Oh, this must be good."
Yeah,
that's
so fun. Hey, did you know there's this crazy video I saw of Kermit the Frog parodying Talking, it's actually a cover, Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime. And it's so bizarre. Look, it is exaggerated for comic effect. It is a parody.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I've seen that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's almost a recreation of the Once in a Lifetime film clip. And there's all these psychedelic effects and Kermit being loopy and stuff. It is it is weird. It's very strange. I loved it. It was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Once in a lifetime. But I think it's just they're just literally doing it straight, but because it's Kermit, it makes it parody.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And his voice and mannerisms is great. I did see a great, like, just on my back on Spinal Tap briefly. You know, there is that song called that I think it's either Big Bottom or Bitch Stool, which is the one. I think it's well, there's one of them where they're all playing bass and. The lead singer's playing a bass. Uh-huh. The other lead guitarist is playing a bass. The bass player, Derek Smalls, is playing a double-necked bass. And they're all just playing bass. It's so funny. There's another one where they're, you know, playing guitar. They've got Marshall stacks on stage that are like five Marshall stacks high. And then the guy, either Nigel Tufnell or whatever, is playing a guitar made out of Marshall stacks. Like it's very strange, but yeah.
It's the best, man.
Yeah.
It's the best. And bringing ideas like turning it up to 11 into the front and center of everyone's vernacular. Everyone knows what that means now.
Brilliant. Yes. It's so good. But back to straighter parody. Like what's the next? I've got a couple of things more Australian.
I've got a lot of things that I wouldn't call parody, but I reckon are sort of in the realm.
Okay. A couple of quick fire ones. Chris Franklin is an Australian stand-up comedian and who I didn't even know, and I don't really know him other than his very famous parody song Yobbo, which was a parody of the Meredith Brooks classic Bitch. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover.
Oh, and he sings, I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a yobbo, my best mate's name is Robbo. All about the Australian bogan culture of being a yobbo. So good. And I had no idea how to write a song. It was very good. The film clip's just him and mates just sinking VB tinnies and being stupid. And it went platinum in Australia. And he has a platinum record on his shelf because he just made a funny parody song that landed. It landed.
Yeah,
it
was, right time, right place, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was great. The other one is The D-Generation, which is kind of like Australia's version of Saturday Night Live or sketch comedy or, you know, something like that.
But those guys are the best.
Yeah, very specifically Australian. And they had two great hits, which I think made like the charts in Australia, but they were called Five in a Row and Five More in a Row. And they actually did five parody songs in quick fire succession while parodying FM radio. So it was an FM radio announcer announcing five non-stop blocks of rock coming up, and they hit Farnsie, Cold Chisel, Little River Band, James Rain. Like,
nice.
They do like 30-second parodies of the biggest Australian artists at the time, and it's really funny. It's really funny.
Don't forget those Barnsley tour dates. We're looking at the 3rd, 4th, 6th, 7th, 23rd, 30th, and the supplementary number. Hey, we'll check them out later. Right now, let's bring the mood back.
And then they do some more, again, with Kylie Minogue and INXS and stuff.
Well, when those guys went and did The Late Show later on, because it was basically the same guys, they would always have a musical number at the end. And they would be like, and announcing Joan Jett for doing... And then one of the other guys would go, what, Joan Jett? Oh,
that's right.
And they'd always mix up the person. And so they had like Australian politician Joan Kerner singing I Love Rock and Roll in middle-aged Joan Kerner singing I Love Rock and Roll. And they would get all these really big, important people to stand in for a really famous musician and do a cover of their song.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Great parody.
That's just reminded me as well of Andrew Denton on his show Money or the Gun. Always used to do at the end different musicians doing a version of Stairway to Heaven. And so it was always a different version of Stairway to Heaven. And so they were always parodies as well. And it was brilliant. And then put out an album called Stairways to Heaven, which is just all these different versions of Stairway to Heaven.
Cover songs.
With completely different genres and completely different artists. It was amazing.
And again, parody, an exaggeration for comedic effect. Awesome. Yeah, really, really good. the other one I had before I get to my little challenge, my little question, and for us to kick around, was The other one I had was Flight of the Conchords, who do in a lot of great musical comedy songs, but there was one real parody song they did called Inner City Pressure. And it's, they just, they're poor. They're living in New York. They're two Kiwis in their TV show. They're very poor and they burst into song. And it's this very Pet Shop Boys synth pop. It's direct parody of a Pet Shop Boys. And it's called Inner City Pressure. And it's all about them bemoaning how poor they are.
Inner city life, inner city pressure, the concrete world is starting to get you. The city is alive, the city is expanding, living in the city can be demanding. You've pawned everything, everything you own, your toothbrush jar and a camera phone. You don't know where you're going, you cross the street. You don't know why you did, you walk back across the street. Standing in the sitting room, totally skint, and your favorite jersey is covered in lint. You want to sit down, but you've sold your chair, so you just stand there. You just stand there.
Very clever, very funny, very unexpected, great song, great parody.
Well, there's this brilliant one that they do as well where they parody a whole range of David Bowie songs.
Oh, yeah.
And they basically take you through David Bowie's entire career and they both dress up as David Bowie at different times of his career.
Right.
And they both do the David Bowie impression so well. And they're singing David Bowie songs in the David Bowie voice and chatting to each other both as David Bowie, and it's amazing.
Those guys are great. They are very, very funny. They're,
well, before you give me the challenge though, mate, I've got something that these are songs that aren't parody, but I think there's like a whiff of parody to them.
Yes.
Right? So Tori Amos, for example, she did one called 97 Bonnie and Clyde, which actually is a song by Eminem.
Ah.
So the album was called Strange Little Girls. And so she did a heap of songs that were all by male artists and delivered them as herself. And so like Raining Blood by Slayer was on it, for example.
So quiet, introspective piano ballad, Tori Amos doing Raining Blood by Slayer.
I think then they've got
that's parody.
Feeling and pathos, but they're in a sense parody because someone like Eminem or Slayer are so aggressive, and then her work is so thoughtful and full of space, and so they take the original intent of the song and turn it on its head so that the tone and delivery and even the structure is completely opposite, and it's not making fun of the song so much. But it's revealing a different aspect that isn't shown in the original. Like in 97 Bonnie and Clyde, which is the Eminem song, rather than being wrapped into a strong beat, there's like loose piano and whispered lyrics from a female vocalist. And this flippant tough guy sort of humorous persona that Eminem has becomes very serious.
Wow.
And the song's about like a father disposing of a mother's body with their kid.
Oh.
And so it's becomes a lot more real and it becomes a lot more powerful because it's almost addressing what's actually happening rather than the fiction that everybody knows that Eminem's telling.
Yeah.
And so it almost sounds like it's being narrated by like the mother's ghost or something like that.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah. I like the idea you've called it the whiff of parody because it works on different levels. It's serious. Mm. But it's interestingly comedic because of the juxtaposition of the original and the new one or something
Like that. Would you say that Satisfaction by Devo is a parody?
My initial gut feeling is that it is a very clever cover.
Yeah.
But it's probably a parody in that it's like anti-cool. Like it's trying to, whereas originally the Stones all about cool and suave delivery of swagger of the man.
Yeah.
And this is, and their version is the opposite. So potentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's and a, there's I a almost, parody.
I almost think in that one as well, it's like they're taking that kind of electronic sound that they have and almost making the sound that they have really prominent too, almost making fun of the sound in a way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like belonging, it makes the sound of Devo so much stronger because it's juxtaposed against the Rolling Stones' Satisfaction.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting take. I hadn't ever thought of that as a parody song, but with everything Devo, there is a wink and a subversive delivery and meaning in there as well. Like they're not just a fun wacky band. There is something, you know, funny but serious and subversive there too.
Yeah, I think all good comedy does have something serious to say though.
Hmm. Yes. Good comedy's a mirror, right? We just look at ourselves and laugh at ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without knowing it sometimes.
All right. I can't wait for this challenge. What do you got, mate? Okay. Tell me.
So my question is, in the new wave of parody, there some of it is so subtle. And I wonder if some of these artists don't even know that they are being a parody or being delivering funny stuff. I think they're taking themselves very seriously. Let me introduce you to the artist, the rap sensation, the multi-platinum US artist called Young Gravy.
Oh my God, these are the two links you sent me the other day.
I said, watch these two videos and we're going to talk about this, YouTube videos.
Oh my God, are you telling me that guy is a multi-platinum album?
Huge. Huge sensation.
Are you serious?
So Young Gravy, and also the name is apparently a parody because all the a lot of rappers use the word young or little in front of their name. Young Gravy apparently is a type of gravy or something. It's an actual food.
Oh,
so
really?
It's like a play on words, right? Like Lil Dicky,
the plot
Lil
thickens.
Dicky, the other rapper who is a bit of a comedic rapper. Young Gravy, right? He's a big deal. He's a white guy. He's from, I think, you know, Southern America. He's just a handsome white guy, and he raps.
He looks to me, my first impression was, it looks like Tim Robbins, young Tim Robbins, dressed up in a movie making fun of the rap genre.
Correct. Right? And I'm so happy that you cotton onto the fact that you think he's making fun of it.
It looks like he is. It looks like somebody in, like, it looks like a Will Ferrell movie trying to make fun of rap.
Yep.
About putting all the big furs on and like standing on cars and like doing all this stuff. But he just looks like a massive nerd.
He's playing it very straight. He's playing it very serious.
He is. Yes.
The songs also, the two songs I sent you, one was called Mr. Clean, which is, it intros with the whole Mr. Sandman, famous Mr. Sandman, and that is the beat and the sample all the way through the song.
He
delivers his lyrics.
Gravy make a splash like Pippin. Shit, that's nothing.
Splash.
Everybody call me Big Pimpin. No, I ain't bluffing. I'm with your mom in the kitchen, making blueberry muffins. Must be Thanksgiving, cause your bitch all the stuffing. Mr. Clean, gravy, why you flow so mean? Mr. Clean, pull up with my whole damn team. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Well, see, that particular song, it didn't even seem like he was making too much of an effort to sing in time.
No, it's well, that like, maybe that's current rap where it's laid back and lazy, interesting rap. Maybe. But the other one was called Betty, and it is literally uses Rick Astley's song Never Gonna Give You Up as the sample.
Yeah, so, just literally Rick rolling everybody with the chorus.
Well, it is. It's like a parody mashup between rappers, pop stars, Rick Astley, the internet and TikTok culture, the meme culture, all the while being very serious. It's like a real life Rickroll and nostalgia trip and TikTok trend all in one.
Never let you down, baby.
It's really Young Gravy.
Hey, what's your baby mama at the crib and blow her back out? Shorty Filipino and she call me Manny Pacquiao. Alley-oop without the hoop, they call me Jerry Stackhouse. Days and out in public, but your mama made me snap out. Before I get the the morning routine, wake up bright and early to some brand new cream. Floss three times, baby, y'all so clean. Gravy got cheese now, that's poutine. Gravy coming hot like I'm hopping off the griddle. Pull up on a kid if you're trying to get belittled. All the mamas love me now, I think I'm being brittle. Flex the rainbow, bang it like some Skittles. Gravy, why you out of pocket?
Out of pocket.
Stop it.
Oh, no.
I'm getting money, Gravy Crockett. Drop. Never take a L no more. Never take a damn thing
chase this dough and get money. Get the money. Never gonna take no loss. Never gonna lose my sauce. All I know is chase this dough and get money.
Yeah.
And at the end of the song, he says,
"Disco weapon."
It's kind of fun and interesting to me. It's fun. It's weird.
Yeah.
But I think my point here is that I think this is the new wave of parody where it's not it's not hitting you like a sledgehammer. Obvious.
Because he's playing it straight.
He's playing it super straight. And
do you think though that people take it seriously?
Yes.
Like, you know, when good parody tricks people into thinking that it's real.
Oh, see, this is what I think. Yes, people take this seriously. People take him as a fun. He's just having fun. It's fun. It's cool. It's cruisy.
Uh-huh.
It's fun.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's almost, and I don't know. I want to ask him whether he is making this character as a subversive statement on the state of American culture, music culture, rap culture, and what it's sort of been degraded to as what passes as entertainment.
Or, it feels like that. It feels like it sort of feels a little bit like Lonely Island's I'm on a Boat song.
Lonely Island's I'm on a Boat hits you across the face like a wet fish as being a funny joke song.
Yeah.
And it's great. I love it.
This sort of slips under the radar of that.
It does. We'll play some. We'll put a sample in here. But I just thought that the new wave of parody is almost so serious that people, kids today, don't know that it's a parody and it's just being played off as the real deal.
And so the joke of it is to get people to love it for real and then just have a private laugh as like, oh my God, I can't believe I got away with that.
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to, I'm asking
because the lyrics aren't serious. The lyrics aren't serious like they're, a rapper, like traditional rap would be. The lyrics are very flippant.
They're lighthearted.
But he's also got the whole image of those big rap guys as well. It's pretty weird.
Yeah. Look.
And to be honest, that Mr. Clean song, I found it musically really boring and awful.
Yeah.
That first song that you sent me was... it was a bit more musically interesting. There was a bit more going on with it in terms of song structure. But the Mr. Clean one was like, what?
It's like,
what am I listening to?
Rap light, L-I-T-E, you know, rap light. Like it's just cruisy, fluffy, but, you know, it is exaggerated.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I think it's parody. I think it's straight up parody, but I'm gobsmacked to think that both he and his fans take it as serious and straight.
Yeah. Do you think it's parody in the sense of accidental parody?
I think the guy has been steering his car down a rap lane and veered off into parody and he's lost and doesn't even know it. That's what I think.
He's accidentally making great parody.
He's accidentally making incredible parody. And that might just make him the greatest parody artist.
Because he's duped himself and others into thinking that it's real and it's just stupid.
Yeah, it's wild. I there you go. So anyway, Young Gravy, we'll put some in. You tell us, let us know what you think. I've got a fact of the week for us. Shall I hit you with a fact of the week?
Please do.
Interestingly, I went down a little bit of a Spinal Tap rabbit hole this week.
Oh, yeah.
But prior to this recently, I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad. I'm a big fan of the TV show Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
And when I was watching Better Call Saul, the main character, Saul Goodman, his older brother, is played by a man called Michael McKean. Now, interestingly, in Better Call Saul, he's an older gent, you know, receding hair, in his 70s.
Yes.
The same actor is the lead singer of Spinal Tap.
Really?
And it blew my mind. I was like, wow.
What?
The lead singer of Spinal Tap went on to have a very successful acting career in both serious and all sorts of different things. It's wild. Very, very interesting.
Wow.
The other fact about Spinal Tap, which you probably know, is that bass player, Derek Smalls, yeah. who is played by the actor Harry Shearer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Harry Shearer is most famous to me for providing the voices on The Simpsons for Principal Skinner, yeah. Kent Brockman, yeah. Mr. Burns, Smithers, yeah. Flanders, Reverend Lovejoy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So good.
He's been in a lot of successful serious films as well.
Yeah, 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 very good. And he was also in Wayne's World 2, wasn't he, the pig man or whatever, when they go to promote Wayne Stock on the radio yeah. show. And anyway.
Yeah, that's right. He was. And he's going, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
There you go.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So Spinal Tap went on to have great long careers.
Oh, they're just talented, as if they wouldn't.
Very good. I love talking about – I'm so glad we got to talk about Weird Al. I'm so glad we got to talk about yeah. parody. Listeners, I would love for you to tell us what your experience with Weird Al is or with parody songs in general. I bet every country has a specific funny parody song that is specific to their culture and Ooh, their nation.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
And I'd be interested to find out some of that. So hit us up on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us an email at supersonicchat@gmail.com.
And we are very glad to be back this year. And if you are glad to hear from us this year, then jump onto your podcast provider and give us a rating. Just rack up those 5 stars. You don't even need to comment. Just give the algorithm a nudge in the right direction to recommend our show to other people. And speaking of recommending us, tell a friend and spread the supersonic love.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you, listeners. That was another episode of Supersonic Chat.